When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi everyone, it's David here, and just to let you know about our live show in London. If you're down south or fancy a wee trip to the Big Smoke, then come and see us as we host our live show at the Leicester Square Theatre on the 21st of March. And you might not be too keen to see us, but I'm sure you'll be keen to see our special guest, Paul Gascoigne. He's coming here, Gaz, I relive some of his amazing moments at his time at the Gers. So if you want tickets, go to the Leicester Square Theatre website. Just Google Leicester Square Theatre, Gaz, and up it will pop. So Thursday, 21st of March, it's an international break. There's nothing else happening. We hope to see you there. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye. Hello everyone, and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar, and as usual, I am your host with a stellar cast. Players might be falling out of the first team picture, but it's not the case here on Heart and Hand. First of all, joining me is the master of mellifluous melody himself, Martin Ramsey. Hello, Martin.
Good evening, David. How are we?
I'm grand, mate. I'm grand. That's you being on now after two wins, which is probably a testament to just how well Phil... Yeah, it's just a testament about how well Big Phil's doing.
That's... I'm the canary down the mine here. It's nice, yeah. But if you don't hear me for too long, then, yeah, things are going well. So nice to be talking about yet another good result.
Yeah, normally I keep Martin and Andy in a cage made of glass marked an emergency break after a loss. And... reducing the age of the pod, the average age, but increasing the amount of hair is Ross Hutton. Hello, Ross.
Hi, David. Hi, Martin. Thanks for having me on. I will admit, to be honest, when you told me earlier on, David, that Martin would be joining us tonight, I did go back and recheck the score from yesterday because I panicked I might have missed something and we were actually out. But no, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, if there was any way that... Rangers' victory could have been overturned, then I'm sure, given the amount of wailing and gnashing of teeth that has taken place after last night's match, which actually seemed fairly uncontroversial from where I was sitting. Of course, there's the usual. Martin, you have spoken before about your utter boredom with a complete tedium of referee chat. So I'm not going to insult your intelligence by wasting. I think you mentioned on the last show that football fans should just be honest and say they want everything to go their way and that's what they consider good refereeing. I think in the case of this, it's really basically in Scotland, there are no neutrals, right? There's nobody to reach. People either love Rangers, hate Rangers, or have no interest whatsoever in football. Those are the three categories to go into. So, you know, you're going to expect this. It is every decision that goes Rangers' way, even, as I say, three fairly uncontroversial ones like last night.
When we're good.
When we're good,
interested. We know we're interested, but it's absolute banter year bullshit. And it doesn't matter anyway. It's because we look ominously like we once did, and the bogeyman of Scottish football is back. I think it might have been on Seagulls, David, rather than the flagship. I don't mind banging this drum again, again, again. It just spare the pretense, spare the nonsense. We football fans don't want consistency. Managers aren't interested in the integrity, the law of the game. They want things to suit them, and we want things to suit us. That's fine. Just accept that. And I think I've said this before, but I don't mind repeating. There's only a few laws, really. There are only a few times that the officials have to make binary decisions. Something is offside or it's not, the ball's over the line or it's not. Everything else is judgment. Now, it might be very clear-cut judgment, but it's still judgment nonetheless, and they've got to take in intent and all sorts of contextual factors, force, proximity to the ball, all these kind of things, and their interpretation of the law, right? So what we're always saying is, my opinion's different with my heavy bias, and it just so happens that my opinion also correlates very nicely to what result I want in the end. And that's a different opinion than I'm seeing on the field. That's a disgrace. And opinion is fact. And that is the internet age, maybe, in a nutshell. If you're watching that on Match of the Day or the same incidents in a game in which you have no skin, you'd be amazed at the kind of coverage.
Yeah.
It's just, but again, people are entitled to see the game in a different way, but just be open about what's motivating you to see that in a different way. And I think I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday about the Ederson challenge in the Man City Liverpool game. There will be a Man City fan in a group chat somewhere thinking, "I thought it was a bit harsh." And the coming together, now the penalty's a clumsy one, and it's a penalty.
Yeah,
but it is a bit clumsy. There's not a lot the defender can do. There's not a lot the defender can do because he's in the wrong position and he's fucked up. But I swear, and if we're being honest with ourselves, if Celtic at Easter Road last night in a game, in a Scottish Cup game, and they get a penalty for that, there'd be members of our group chat saying, not sure. Because we want a particular outcome. We're minded to see the game in a particular way. Just accept it's a matter of judgment. Not everyone shares your opinion. It's okay. We move on. But yeah, for all the talking points in Scottish football over the last however many months, I should be amazed at the fact we're really getting into the granularity of some of these decisions. But nothing really does these days.
Yeah, if there's one word that I think should be banned in football in general, not just in Scotland, because I've heard it on Match of the Day, I've heard it on EPL coverage, I've heard it on coverage of European matches, is intent, right? It has nothing to do with anything. If it was about intent, then most fouls aren't fouls, because players generally legitimately try to win the ball and they're a bit late or they miss time or whatever. It's very rarely does he go, "I'm going to kick him." That doesn't happen a lot. Intent is nothing to do with it. So last night, he's not trying to foul him for the penalty. Doesn't matter. He has fouled him.
No.
Because as you say, he's got wrong side and he's clipped him, and then he's just leaned into him. Sterling's done.
Professional fouls are different, Davey. Professional fouls are that is I'm going to kick you because you're breaking away and I'll take my yellow card. And that's why that's the difference between that being a yellow card and maybe just coming together in the middle of the pack.
Yeah, and a pullback being an automatic yellow because of that as well, and I totally agree with that. But, you know, the vast majority of fouls, two players are competing, the ref doesn't like, maybe a bit of shoving or whatever, interpretation, as you mentioned. But intent, we keep hearing about this, or there's no intent, there's never any intent, it doesn't fucking matter. And similarly, the argument put forward by Viaplay commentator Michael Stewart last night, Ross, on the red card, was, you see, he hasn't actually made that much contact, as if that matters. It doesn't matter. He's leapt off the ground. He's at speed. He's out of control. All of the things that constitute a red card. And I really do get frustrated in Scotland about, I know the rules, but I don't like the rules, so therefore that's a wrong decision. That isn't how life works. You're not allowed to say to a copper when you get pulled for driving 170 zone, I know I was going 100, but I think it should be 100, so therefore I'm all right. The cop will not let you go with a high, good argument, mate.
And saying I had the best of intentions while doing it as well.
Yeah. I'm not that type of driver.
You're absolutely spot on what you said, and Martin speaks about it very well. We all want decisions to go our own way, and as fans, I think we're okay to sit and admit that. Obviously, if I'm watching a game of football for 90 minutes that Rangers are involved in, I want every single decision, throw-ins, goal kicks, controversial penalties, a lot to go in Rangers' favour because I'm a Rangers fan. That's all right. I don't mind saying that. I'm not there to be a neutral observer. I'm not there to not show any level of bias. I'm there to support Rangers, and that's our job as fans to do that. I think what the deep frustration was yesterday is you had a commentator in Michael Stewart who seemed to be doing the same but in the opposite direction. Now, you know what you're getting from Michael Stewart. You don't get too bogged down in giving him the airtime, because I know it's what he thrives on, but you do know what you're getting from Michael Stewart. But yesterday was in a world of his own, a new high even by his own standards, in terms of just not commentating on a game of football in an unbiased way. Now, people will turn around and say, you don't have to commentate on an unbiased way. You look at Jamie Carragher, Gary Neville, for example. We all cheer when Chris Boyd gets stuck in. We all despair when Chris Sutton does. So it is a part of the game, but for someone in Michael Stewart's position to blatantly disregard the laws of the game in the way that he did in his commentary yesterday, it sets a tone. It really does set a tone for all the rest of the discourse that's going to happen this week. Would it happen without him? Possibly, but he's there leading the charge from the front. And that's the thing that really does bother me, is I'm not asking for every single pundit or every single commentator to like Rangers or to commentate on Rangers the way that we would as fans. I'm not asking for that. I don't want it, to be honest. But to have the complete blatant disregard for the laws of the game in the way that Michael Stewart displayed yesterday, to talk about laws that in the way that he wanted them to be rather than the way that they are, was farcical to listen to. Really let down the coverage as a whole. And as fans, as customers of the game, and I know we're not high up in many people's priority lists, it really does shortchange us up here, because this is what we're subjected to week in, week out. There's not a uncontroversial game that involves Rangers anymore because we're good. And we need to deal with this every single fucking week. And it's so, so tedious, and it's so boring for us all. And you'll see it all the time. Now people say we're just kind of bored of hearing about it, whereas yesterday you have three clear-cut decisions that the referee got right. It was a penalty. It was a second booking that should have came earlier, but it was a second booking. And it was a red card because it was dangerous. And to argue that any of those three decisions were unwarranted or unfair is just wild. And to argue what Michael Stewart was seemingly trying to do, that John Lundstrom should have stood there and had his leg broken to prove the point of a red card, is ludicrous. It's a player safety issue. So all these little things that we need to deal with week in, week out, they're boring me now, David, and it's disappointing that we need to address it week in, week out, but that's the state of the game that we play up here.
Martin's right, though. It's because they think that we're capable of winning things again, and that's why the noise the noise is getting ramped up to do the very best to prevent it. Let's talk about the actual game itself, then. We're all football fans, and that's why we love our team. Martin, I was a little surprised there was no rotation, but it did sort of chime with what the manager spoke about, which is, I can't really prioritise. It's a cup tie. I can't say, right, well, we've a big game on coming up on Thursday. He picked his strongest side last night. But, you know, another two players potentially injured, Dujon Sterling and Ross McCausland. He spoke afterwards about the summer and basically suggested that the preparation wasn't right, and that's why so many players have suffered so many injuries this season. But I think it's fair to say that he's been kind of unimpressed with the culture that he came into. He didn't really have a lot of options to freshen the side up. I think that was probably another factor. I don't think, in an ideal world, he does go with the same 11 those two games, and if everyone's fit, potentially the same 11 on Thursday night again.
Well, this is his problem. I mean, he clearly, if you look at what he's tried over the last couple of months, certainly coming from back from the break, and what he's spoken about before, he would love to keep things fresh. I think he would love to change every week. For that reason, to give players minutes, but also give other players a rest. The problem he's found is that the replacements for some key positions are just nowhere near it. And in certain positions, there are no replacements, as you've just mentioned. So he doesn't have a lot of options. If it's a home tie, let's say we'd drawn Morton at home, probably we would have seen a few more changes. But a Rangers manager can't... can you really go away from home in a Scottish Cup quarterfinal against a Premier League team who you imagine will approach it a bit differently than a league game? Because let's be honest, a lot of these clubs do write off the Old Firm at times. You know, these are kind of free hits, but the Cup clearly has a different dynamic, and there's no way he can publicly say, well, we're giving up the Scottish Cup, everything's about the league, basically, even though there's a lot of fans, I think, would possibly admit to that themselves. He can't do that. So I think we'd maybe hoped for some tinkering, but you're absolutely right. The options with which he has to tinker are few and far between. I mean, the man of the match being one point in question, you know, John Lundstrom has looked tired. He, on Thursday night, mentally looked tired, making all sorts of decisions that he simply wasn't making early in the game, hasn't made for the past few weeks, because there's no one to come in to that role. No one. Either fit or reliable or good enough. So there's no option. And that's clearly what he's getting at. His words were quite pointed. He obviously has to back that up this time next year, I suppose, by building a team who are coming into this final stretch fit and hungry and really ready to put the foot down the way that the great champion teams do. I heard a few people mention, well, does that really make sense? You know, for the winter break, he's been here for 5 months. Players talk about pre-season a lot and the importance of it in terms of setting up your own levels for the coming 8-9 months, whatever it is. You see the best teams who will start perhaps slowly. There's one in England that comes to mind, but will power and power through. That's all built in the summer. And if you don't get those levels right, if you don't do that groundwork, when you know, that's all you do is that fitness work, then you're going to suffer. We're clearly suffering. Two more, we don't know the extent of them. But it just seems it's an expectation at the minute, David, that we're going to win, but we're going to lose players. That seems to be the expectation of a Rangers fan going into kickoff, and it's just this juxtaposition between going hell for leather on all fronts and how exciting that is, but the nagging fear that do we have the legs to run the entire race?
No, that's a very legitimate shout, and I think that it is a concern. But we can only urinate with the appendage that God has granted us. And I thought last night, Ross, was a pretty professional performance based on the fact that we were just back from a European trip. It was a game that they expended an awful lot of energy in. We did look tired towards the end of that match, and I did have some concerns about it. But I think Martin there picking out Lundstrom is an excellent shout, because for me, Lundstrom was aware that he couldn't maybe play his usual game in terms of physicality. So he changed and he used his brain a lot. And I thought that his reading of the match, his control of the match, the influence he exerted on the match was absolutely spot on. And of course, he gets the breakthrough goal. Doesn't get a lot of credit for it, I've noticed, because, you know, it's not a spectacular finish. It's not... People might think, well, it's just a rebound, but I think he does tremendously well here. He's on his toes. He keeps himself outside the box, so there's no chance whatsoever of being pulled up for encroachment. And he wants it more, and he gets there before the Hibs defence.
Yeah, it's not going to win any goal of the season competitions, but the meaning of it was absolutely massive, especially in that moment, because you're right, in the overall picture of the game, I think Rangers managed it incredibly well, bar a spell in the second half where Hibs really did come out and try and hit us hard at the start of the second half. But in the main, I thought Rangers managed the game really well, and Lundstrom was instrumental in all of that. And despite the fact that he is very obviously physically tired, mentally so as well, you would not have thought that yesterday with the footballing intelligence that he displayed, especially for that rebounded goal from the penalty. I think I counted in a still image there was four Hibs players in front of him from his starting position with a run-up, but he shows everything that he has shown for months under Fleet Clement, that desire, that grit, that determination, all the usual superlatives you would throw at a player like that. But that is what you need when you're in a situation like that and your attacking players are dropping like flies and you need to try and get goals from somewhere. You need players like that who are going to pull you through those tough moments, because say if Tav misses that penalty and it gets cleared away and it's still 0-0, the dynamic of that game could very easily change. Yeah, so Hibs get their tails up, their fans start to think, okay, this could be our day. Our heads could drop a bit. That mental tiredness and fatigue comes to the fore after Thursday night. You know, all those, you know, wee sliding doors moments in a game that have massive repercussions. So for Lundstrom to be on his toes in the way that he is, to show that desire to get on the end of the rebound, is absolutely fantastic. And he thoroughly deserved it. And you could see what it meant to him as well. A lot of chat about his own contract situation, but you could see how much that goal meant to him in his celebration, you know, pointing his finger at the badge or whatnot. He's clearly somebody who's loving his football at the minute, and it's just a shame from our point of view that we're asking him to do so much and we can't rotate him out, because he's such a vital player for us. And for all the injuries that we are picking up at the minute, the one that I fear the most is John Lundstrom. He's already had one this season, of course, and we'll remember back to that just before the new year. But if anything was to happen to him, if he's to pull a muscle or be in the end of a really bad challenge, and obviously he was in this game, then we are in some deep trouble. But I'm trying to enjoy what I'm watching at the minute, and he's been absolutely fantastic for us.
Yeah, he was, I thought, just the major influence on that match last night, Martin. And that came to bear in the second half. Rangers are in the lead. Hibs came out.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Flying at the start of the second half. I thought towards the end of the first half. You see this in games when someone suffers what looked like a serious injury to Martin Boyle. Thankfully he's okay, and he's back home. Hibs have released a statement. It does take the kind of verve out the crowd a bit, and his teammates, and that's under this human thing. And I thought in that period, Rangers asserted, there was 9 minutes added, so in that kind of 10-12 minutes, Rangers asserted dominance. Hibs came out at the start of the second half, forced a lot of territorial pressure without really testing Jack Butland. And you sort of could sense the frustration. I'm sure our group chat wasn't the only one in which people were saying that they could get a red card here, because a few of the players, there was the throwing up their hands at really straightforward decisions. There was a lot of shouting and bawling at each other. And you just sensed that a few of them were on the edge. And of course, could have been, I mean, first foul, nobody, not even the biggest Rangers hater is arguing that it was a yellow card. He probably should have been sent off then for shoving Ross McCausland as he's going off injured. That should have probably been a booking as well. But you could say he's going to do something, and sure as fate he did. And then the last sort of vestiges of calm that they had about them just went out the window, and that was shown by the yellow, the straight red a couple of minutes to go. It is important in tempestuous games like this, the old Rudyard Kipling, if you can keep your head when everyone is losing theirs. And I thought Rangers did that very well last night.
We absolutely did. Again, if you're a neutral watching an FA Cup tie that looks like this, I know you would be in a group chat saying, oh, there's scope for scenes we don't like to see here. Things are going to absolutely kick off, because it did feel like that. And cup football, maybe again, as I said earlier, just gives that extra element to it. that Hibs would have thought they maybe had a good chance of, you know, scoring a famous victory, et cetera, et cetera. And it was going out their grip. Clearly, the issue with the penalties we've discussed and just didn't keep theirs. He could have been booked for the push. I think that would have caused more noise, perhaps. And again, the referees made a judgment there. Maybe so soon after the original booking, I don't know. Maybe that's in his head against it. Now you're going this time. It's just so needless. And Jesus, the second red card was, I think, wild. But other Rangers teams of late would have maybe been drawn into that and given Hibs the game they wanted, given Hibs the real kind of in the balance cup tie that they wanted. And I was very pleasantly surprised by just how calm we were. It's on a different league, obviously, but you know that title win 99, when Parkhead is bedlam, the Celtic players are losing the plot within the first half an hour, and Rangers players are very visibly, because I've spoken about it, very visibly not getting involved, even when they're being shoved, just walking away. Until the very end, obviously, with Wallace. But it looks very deliberate. That hasn't just come by accident and by chance. And, yeah, perhaps a team starting to resemble their manager.
Yeah, he spoke about that before the game, that he, you know, you have to keep calm in these situations because it's going to be a febrile atmosphere. It's going to be, of course, it's quarterfinal of a Scottish Cup. Hibs at home, they've come off the back of some good results. They were looking forward to it, and you have to keep calm or you can get embroiled. We did get embroiled in that match where we went down to 9 men a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
of course, the Lundstrom was never a red card and was overturned. But even so, that day we did lose our heads a little bit and got punished for it. We didn't last night. Got the second just to make the last 10 minutes or so redundant, really, Ross. Lovely goal, Fabio Silva. Had a good week.
I had, and then some. He does look a different player out in that left-hand side for us, and it's been an absolute pleasure to watch. And I'm speaking as somebody, and I'm not afraid to say this, who was a wee bit sceptical of Fabio Silva when he joined the club. Obviously watched him quite a lot at Wolves when he played down there, and I never quite understood him as a player, I don't think, when you judge attacking players on the basis of output. I wasn't entirely convinced that he was the kind of player who would come in and hit the ground running for us and score these big goals and provide these big moments, but he's been exceptional this week. Another player who's really epitomised everything that you'd want under this new management team. And if he can play in that role on the left-hand side, where we do need him to play now, because as we've discussed ad nauseum tonight already, we are dropping like flies at the minute. I mean, he's not just a player who can play there. If he can thrive in that position, he has been doing absolutely fantastic. And he's a player, I think we said from the off, coming to Ibrox, that his football intelligence did seem to be a level above. It was just about trying to unlock that in the best way possible. Try playing through the middle. I don't think he's an out-and-out number nine. I don't think that position ever really suited him. We tried playing him as a 10, but where he seems to have put in his best performances for us is on that left-hand side. And one thing that I think is really exciting as well is that developing partnership between Silva and Yilmaz. There seems to be a real, almost telepathic kind of connection between the two of them there, the overlapping runs, the 1-2s they play between each other. Very, very exciting to watch. And if that can click before the run-in, then absolutely fantastic, because we're going to be all the better for it. And he really, you can see it in his post-match comments as well, he seems to be a young guy who's really enjoying his football now here as well. I know he was asked about the longer-term future for him at Rangers, but we'll need to kind of wait and see that if that another loan is something that can be on the table for us. But he really does seem to be enjoying his football, something that he's not had for a number of years now, and we're getting the best out of him. So if he can keep up this form going into the run-in and post-split games and obviously cup semi-finals and the latter stages, hopefully, of Europe, we're going to be all the better for it, because he's been fantastic for us these last two games.
And if he does strike up that thing with Ridvan, then that's a huge bonus for us, because it just looked like Ridvan and Cortez had something burgeoning there before. Obviously, he was injured at Rugby Park. I'll be honest, I kind of assumed this is where he would play when he came. And obviously our depleted situation has kind of forced the manager's hand a wee bit, but Ross Whit mentioned the word intelligence. He's a very clever player, and a lot more physical than some of us may have assumed beforehand. And yeah, probably along with Roof, probably the only real football brains we have at that kind of end of the park. There's not a lot of intelligent players in Scotland, not a lot of intelligence in Scottish football in general, as we've already discussed with the punditry. But it's about where his teammates can then click, I guess, with him and reading runs and everything. But I'd quite like to see far more of him out on that side.
Yeah, for me, that's his position. He's a wide striker. He's not a number nine. He can play there, but he's far more effective. Yeah, he do a job, basically. And you lose, I think, someone who's either contribute really highly or doing a job. So I'd rather have the former rather than the latter. On Rid van Martin, look, it's well known, Hadji Efdi arrived in the window. Rid van probably would have been sold for around about 4.55 million euros back to Turkey. Hasn't looked like a player in a huff, it's fair to say. Hasn't looked like a player desperate to leave. If somebody comes in with 5 million for Rid van Yilmaz, based on what I'm watching, I am laughing in their general direction and telling them not to insult my intelligence.
Nah, that's over now, that particular conversation and that particular number. It's a funny old game and all that. Things change. And what has changed with him, not just the level of performance, but we've seen him, consistently seen him, where, you know, he did struggle to adapt. Couldn't speak a word to the Queens, and he injury after injury, just couldn't quite get that foothold in a team. And I think a lot of us, myself included, preferred that type of fullback to Borna, who I'd seen enough of quite a wee while ago. And just what he gave, his directness, his willingness to cut inside, drive the team forward. I love all that, but we weren't able to see enough of it because he, you know, couldn't find that form, couldn't find the fitness. Now he has, and we're a totally different team, or we look a completely different team because of it. And that's the player we hoped we had signed when he arrived, better late than never. And yeah, if he is ever going to be sold within contract, which I presume will always happen to any good Rangers player from now on, but you know, might be a pipe dream. Then it would certainly be for more than that as we currently speak, because a lot has changed in 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, and I think as well, in terms of the manager's rotation, I think he would have been a wee bit more out and in of the side, but Borna's performance at Kilmarnock has probably put paid to that in big pressure games. You know, maybe at home to a lesser opposition, he might come in, but generally speaking, Rid van, but he's thriving, just as you say. I mean, he's loving his football. He's turning in 7, 8, I think, every match currently at the moment. And he's absolutely flying. Although, Martin, it's the Kings now.
Of course, yeah. Listen, I'm still quite a lot. I'm an old man.
Well, I mean, it was a staple of our life for all of our lives. So,
and when he arrived, it was the Queens.
It was indeed. But no, he's absolutely flying, and I think a real asset to the side. The defence always takes a bit of a pounding, Ross. And I think that, you know, obviously we conceded an unfortunate and a bad goal in Portugal. And then yesterday I thought that with the ball at their feet, the two of them looked a little bit jaded, to say the least. However, barely any shots on goal. The only one really of any significance was one that Jack Butland created, but it was his birthday and God was not going to punish him on that day. And, you know, they are holding teams at bay in the main, and they're doing the defensive side of the game first and foremost. Hopefully, it's just been a bit of a blip in terms of the bringing the ball out of defence, and they'll continue on, you know, the shutouts. The manager certainly
seems happy with the two of them because he's got Leon Balogun back and he hasn't so far been tempted to put him in.
Which is a testament because I think when the manager came into the club, the preference of the pairing was Goldson and Balogun. But Suter's came into the side and I think for the most part been incredibly solid in there beside Goldson. He just seems to have a really unfortunate habit of whenever we can see the goal, he seems to be involved in some way, shape or form, like Thursday night. Even when it's not an outright outrageous mistake, he does have a bad habit being on the wrong end of those. And I think you could probably say the same for Goldson as well, Thursday night being a prime example. I'd be curious to see if we could take that intent thing any further that you mentioned at the top of the show, David, because I doubt Connor Goldson didn't intend to score an own goal there. So if we could just bring in that law, that would be ideal. But I think going forward, you're not going to drop either of them, right? And there's been a lot of discussion about this with Connor Goldson recently in terms of his own personal form, which hasn't been up to his own high standards. I think that would be kind of fair to say. Yesterday, creating that back pass to Jack Butland, okay, he should have dealt with it, but it wasn't a great ball to him either when he could have played it to Lundstrom. Possibly another couple who are experiencing that mental fatigue because it is different, right? Volume of games is one thing, but the pressure of the games is entirely different. If you're playing a volume of games where you're 7 or 8 points behind Celtic at this stage of the season, and the title's a non-discussion, okay, yeah, you're playing in Europe, but it's a wee bit freer because there's not as much pressure there, then you don't go through those mental ringers that you're getting put through on a game-by-game basis now, where there is a treble on the line, if we're being totally honest. So it's a very new experience for a lot of these players. As much as they did go and win 55 in an immaculate fashion, it wasn't a title race in the way that it is now. There wasn't that immense overbearing pressure on every single game, every single time you're on the ball, etc. and so forth. So it's a very, very new experience there, but that's why you need your senior players like Connor Goldson, the vice-captain of the club, to kind of stand up and be counted in those moments. And again, yesterday, despite that kind of wee blip that I'm talking about, done very well to keep Hibs at arm's length for the most part and keep Jack Butland's gloves clean. Really, the only kind of shot in anger I can think of was from the free kick. He done well to go over and save. But in the main, from open play, I think he defended really well yesterday, and you need to kind of keep that going. And we've got an international break coming up where they'll get a breather. And it's not the panacea of health and well-being that I think some people are making it out to be, this international break, but it's something. At least it's something that where they can take their minds off it for a couple of weeks and mentally recharge as much as anything else. Because as much as there is a physical element to this, really big mental element to it as well.
Yeah, I think it's more mental, the likes of the passing, etc. I think it is a mental thing. But you take each game as it comes, Martin. We had three massive games after Thursday. We have two massive games now. First one negotiated. Thursday night will take care of itself, as the saying goes. And by that, what I mean is everyone will be buying up for it. The crowd will be buying up for it. There's a sellout already. Do our best, hopefully get through. But then Dundee, the focus will have to immediately win, lose or draw, switch to that one. And then, yes, as Ross said, get a bit of rest, get a bit of recuperation and recovery done during the international break.
Yeah. You're into that stage of the season where they're coming thick and fast, of course. And listen, it's, as Ross mentioned, far better to be in this kind of position than just seeing the season out and already talking about what kind of buzz there's going to be about the place in the summer and all that. Thursday, quarter to six is weird, obviously. Quite surprised we've never really been affected by that at home. So it's not been kind of fully under the lights in March and all that. But I agree, it's going to be our crowd are very, very comfortable with their jobs on these particular evenings, very in sync with the players. And good to get that back after quite a few months. And that is a bit of a distraction. But as long as we're still at least 2 points clear on Sunday night, that has to be the priority at the end of the week. And yeah, our last chance to get players back to kind of reset and go again for a momentous 6 weeks or whatever it is.
I can't wait for Thursday. Really, I just I get incidentally that. For fans, it's valuing domestic trophies more. I totally understand that. I want to see us lift silverware, but there is just something incredibly special about Ibrox and nights like this. And the reward for this, let's let's look at it. A quarter final mm-hmm. of a European trophy, 2 years after reaching a final. These are levels you haven't seen in Scottish football for, what, 60 years? You know, I mean, yeah. really.
And it's becoming, okay, like, it's exciting, but okay, that's kind of, not kind of what we do, but it's in the ballpark of what Rangers expect in the Europa League. And we've calibrated or recalibrated. Christ, we can only dream of that in the 1990s, Davey. But it's just we know this game, and we know how to maneuver it. We know how to kind of manage it, and it's a nice feeling that this is kind of where we should be.
No, absolutely is, and the fact we've got a realistic chance of knocking out Benfica, massive club, massive. Financial resources as well, and yeah, I'm looking at this going, yeah, we can do this, absolutely. If we turn up on the night, I expect we will, if you know, we put in a performance. But obviously it's a shootout, basically. It's a one-off now. It's essentially a cup tie that will be finished on the night. No away goals or anything like that coming into play. So, oh, it's going to be spectacular. Right then, folks, that will do us for this week here on the Heart and Hand show. Of course, we have two more free shows every single week on Wednesday. Martin will be back with Dominant, his look at Rangers 1986 to 1998. And then on Friday, Cammy will be here with Heart and Hand Extra, in which he will look back over the Benfica game and look ahead to Sunday's trip to Dens Park. Right then, just time to thank everyone involved. First of all, our producers, Mike Lee and Paul Myers, and to my wonderful guests, who I thoroughly enjoyed listening today. First of all, Martin Ramsey.
Thanks, as always, David. Pleasure.
And Ross Hutton.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
If you want to hear more from them, from me, from all of the Heart and Hand team, go to patreon.com/heartandhand. Sign up for just £2 per month and you will get up to 25 shows every single week. We cover everything to do with Rangers, I do promise you, in some depth. And there are 6,000 hours of content in the archive for you to go and have a listen to. So come join the party. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you here this time next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.